from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Black Tie Movement are the big dogs in Memphis. They're the best team around, whether you're moving cross town, cross country. Give them a call. 316-6196 is the phone number. If you are about to have that move coming up, they're going to make it easy. They're going to show up when they say they're going to show up. They're going to stay on the budget that you guys agreed to. No surprises at the end when it's time to pay. They're the best. But you got to call them and get on the schedule. They're always busy. Trust me. 316-6196 is the phone number. It's Black Tie Moving. They're changing moving in the city of Memphis.
On Mondays around this time, to start off the third hour, I usually pull out the old big green egg. Pat out some burgers like I used to do back at the Memphis Country Club back in my younger days. But I season these a little differently than we did back for the rich folks at the Memphis Country Club. We season these with respect in a world full of disrespect. Let's do Respect Burger.
Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show, Respect Burgers.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Sizzling Respect Burgers, served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
Got to give John a little credit here. Not a Respect Burger, but a little credit, because he called this last week, said if Hideki Matsuyama won, then it would be a great story. The FedEx St. Jude Championship, and that is precisely what happened. Didn't happen without a little drama, though. And at one point, it looked like maybe there wouldn't be any drama on the final day. Hideki was running away with it. 5-stroke lead on Sunday out of TPC Southwind. And this was after a pretty tumultuous week. You know, you win bronze in Paris in the Olympics in golf. You get robbed then in London. Caddy gets his passport stolen. Your wallet's gone. Pretty bad week. You got to get to Memphis. Caddy can't come because he doesn't have a passport. So you got to go out and get a temporary caddy. All those things you would think add up to, you know, what could have very easily been a not so good, certainly a week in which he was distracted. And yet he puts it together, blows the 5-stroke lead. And at a point there where you thought, okay, he's about to blow it. Remember, he had got into it with an official, had talked with an official, and even during the, I told you I was watching on television, some of the analysts were wondering if that talk, which is kind of like going to the principal's office sometimes for a pro golfer, if that talk had thrown him off. Bottom line was he was giving it all back. Ends up going down, falling behind by a stroke, but birdies 17 and 18 to not go to a playoff, to win by 2 strokes with a little bit of help, and get the win after an incredibly, again, my gosh, eventful week to say the least in terms of good and bad. This was all good. As John points out, he gets $3.6 million for it, and his caddy, his temporary caddy, gets a nice little cut of that. What's that going to be, about 8, 10%? What a caddy's tip.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I defer to you golf guys, but he's going to get a nice cut that at one point certainly would not have been coming if not for the robbery in London. But again, congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama. Respect burger to him and his concentration. Respect burger, too, to the 1,600 volunteers that work the FedEx St. Jude Championship as well. Again, keyword volunteer. Those folks go out there with a great pride and happy to do so, and they do it in pretty extreme conditions when you talk about those extreme excessive heat warnings we were getting last week. So we thank them as well. Had a great winner, and that's the kind of name that you wanted at the top. Remember us talking about that? That's a record. That's what you want winning your tournament, a name like Hideki Matsuyama, no question. Moving on, Jordan Spieth.
Respect.
Did not play well. And I think I've read or heard, too, that he may be in for some wrist surgery because he's apparently, you know, dealing with more than right now just a bad game. He wound up shooting a final round 72 Sunday, ended with a double bogey at 18, finished the tournament 9 over par. It just was not a good weekend. But I want to give him a respect burger for his generosity because, as you all probably have seen by now, and St. Jude has put out it's all over socials and everything else. Spieth and his wife, Annie, they visited St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, of course, early in the week. And we know that tournament does a great deal for St. Jude in terms of raising funds. Spieth himself made a donation of $500,000. $500,000 donation.
Yep.
And just, again, individually, you know, Spieth going through a lot right now in terms of his game. We had talked about how at one point he had been crowned. In terms of the next big thing in golf, win some majors. But if I've read this correctly, he hasn't won on the PGA Tour since 2022. So he's got a lot going on in terms of trying to get back on top. But the idea, again, that they would sit there and take the time to visit and then to donate $500,000 of their money, not just say, hey, so, well, you're getting plenty from St. Jude, right, as a result of this, or take it upon themselves to do so. I'm not going to let Jordan Spieth get out and his wife get out of here without a respect burger, no doubt about it. And Shediac called that, you know, down at Allsack, called that a game changer when you get those sorts of donations. And so we thank you, Jordan Spieth, Jordan and Annie Spieth, for your generous donation to St. Jude's. Moving on, a record-breaking WNBA play. John, like this, both from a rookie and a vet, Caitlin Clark continues to wow us, and there is no question she is your rookie of the year. That is not even a discussion anymore. Poor Angel Reese and my cheering of her. She's had a great season, but what Caitlin has done is kind of transcendent in terms of the numbers that she's putting up. Yesterday in the Indiana Fever's 92-75 win, and that's the thing we keep saying about the Fever, they're winning now. She broke the WNBA single season rookie mark for assists. Okay? She leads the WNBA in assists at 8.3 per game, and she had 9 yesterday to get to 232 to pass the previous record of 224. Here's the thing. She's going to bust it because she's got, 12 more games. She's got 12 more games remaining to add to this assist total that is already a record for a rookie. The overall single season assist record in the WNBA is 316, which was set last year by Alyssa Thomas, from the Connecticut Sun. Clark, at her current pace, could eclipse that in 11 more games. So she's probably going to break the all-time single-season assist record, not just the rookie record, in her first season. And frankly, if she keeps leading this Fever team to wins and a playoff berth, she's going to be up in getting MVP votes. Forget rookie of the year votes. She's going to be getting MVP votes. That's how cold Caitlin Clark is.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't take anything away from her. Her teammates have gotten accustomed now to getting to the spots that now they see Caitlin can get them the ball in and scoring. I mean, you can see it coming together for that team, and they've taken off as a result of it. And it looks like that break that she took. Remember, she got some grief for sitting out of the 3-point contest. Said, "Hey, I've been playing a lot here, especially coming over from Iowa straight in the WNBA. A little break's going to serve me nice." And she didn't have to play in the Olympics. Obviously, wasn't selected. Looks like it served her well. But that's not just a rookie that set a record as well. We also had a vet, like I talked about, and Asia Wilson is basically the anchor for the two-time defending Las Vegas Aces, two-time defending champs. 34 points, 13 rebounds in her last one. So WNBA record 17th game this season with 20-10. If you watch Asia Wilson, you know you are watching the best player in women's basketball. And she was the key during the Olympics run. One of the big keys, obviously, to gold in the Olympics. And listen to this. Two-time WNBA MVP. These are her averages. 29.3 points, 14.4 rebounds, 3.6 blocks. So 30 points a game, 14 rebounds, and 4 blocks a game. She's shooting 53% from the field, which you'd expect from a big. But how about this? 93.3% from the free throw line, John. Asia Wilson shoots 93% from the free throw line.
That's amazing.
She said that it was a quote from Kobe about resting at the end, not in the middle, that got her through in the Olympics. Do you remember that tough start against France and how they were throwing the ball at her? She talked about how she didn't think she had anything left in the tank in that game. They had relied and depended on her so much. And I was reading this story. It said it was a Kobe quote that helped motivationally sort of pull her through and say, nah, we got this. We're not going to let this get away from everything else. But she's an absolute stud. Breaks her own record for 20-10s in a WNBA season. And then, and I'm so glad we haven't mentioned him, because you know who the best rookie quarterback has been so far in the NFL preseason? His name hasn't been. This is how real I'm going to keep it with you. It's not Caleb Williams, and John, it's not Jaden Daniels.
Can I name him?
You can now because I've eliminated two.
It's your second.
Bo Nix, man.
Yep.
Respect.
8 of 9 for 80 yards and a touchdown in his two drives Sunday night. And we have talked about this for the Broncos for the little bit that we have talked about him in the preseason. It feels like Sean Payton, and the plan seems to be, although I don't think he's come out and stated it, that Bo Nix is going to be the week one starter for Denver. That you've had a sort of quote-unquote quarterback battle between him and Jared Stidham this preseason. But Bo Nix, man, in every opportunity given him, has done what I've talked about. He's run the script. It's what I'm hoping to see more of from Caleb Williams. But he's also showing you something that Sean Payton didn't have with Drew Brees at the end of Brees' career. He had the we can run the script stuff. He didn't have the legs. And Bo Nix gives you legs as well, the ability to make plays, sort of like what Sean loved about Taysom Hill. Now, he ain't Taysom Hill, okay? But this is a guy who, again, when the script plays are not there, can bail out and go make something happen for you that may not have been there. He has been unbelievable the entire preseason. And, frankly, I think his numbers in terms of quarterback rating and everything, they are. Let me pull it up here. They're higher. They have been higher than Jaden's, and 140 yesterday, 140.7. Also added the 3 rushes for 12 yards, and he was fantastic in their week one preseason game. So it doesn't mean Denver is a playoff contender or anything else.
Right.
But what it does appear to mean to me, at least from the early returns, my gut tells me Sean Payton has got his man. And frankly, he's looking pretty right for moving on from Russell Wilson based on what we saw last year from Russ, and then more importantly, what we're seeing again this year. So looks to me like they got a good one in Bo Nix, who ended up going, number 12 overall in the draft, the first round?
He looks great.
Like what I see from Bo. Older, too, right? 24.
Yeah.
That'll be the final one.
Yeah. I think with Bo, just on this topic altogether, before we get to the disrespect dog, I'd like to see him do it against a first-team defense before I go crazy.
It's fair.
He has been doing this mostly against backups, but yeah, no, he looks. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, has there been a rookie that's looked bad yet? I mean, that's the kind of crazy part. There hasn't been a single rookie quarterback that got drafted in the
Not
first.
Not bad. Penix.
Penix, he looked good.
He wasn't great, bro.
I mean, he looked good enough to where Raheem Moore said, "I'm shutting him down." He's shown me enough. I don't understand that
cannot be the reason.
I don't understand it.
The reason has to be you are trying not to create a quarterback. You're trying not to contribute to a potential quarterback controversy when Kirk gets back.
Yeah, I don't know.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't want him to go out there and be good in this preseason. This is the only thing I could think of. And others have speculated the same thing, but it has to be the only thing. You don't want to contribute to some of your team thinking, you know what, we ought to roll Penix out there. You don't want to do that. Because why wouldn't you play him? He's not going to get reps in the regular season. And then what if Kirk goes down? He's coming off an Achilles injury mm-hmm. that he suffered in week 8 last season. Mm-hmm. Number one, how's he going to look? But number two, what if he goes down?
Yeah,
you're
true.
Right there. You're the next guy in. You're telling me he doesn't need reps. He absolutely needs reps. So the only thing we can come up with is that he's trying not to. He's trying to avoid a couple of weeks, 3 weeks from now. Penix having gone out there yesterday, looked real good. 2 days ago, looked real good. And then you got folks in the locker room saying he should be the guy.
Right.
You're trying to avoid that early. That's all I can think of.
Yeah. Otherwise,
of course he needs the reps.
Yeah, but, let's just think about it, right? Like, bro, even Tanner Mordecai got in the game yesterday. Remember him? Your boy from SMU, and then he transferred to, Wisconsin?
Mm.
Dude, even he got in, was 4 or 5 for 50 yards in the second half of that game last night. Like,
I don't think Spencer Rattler was good.
He was good his first
since
game.
Since you're going out of the first
round. He was good.
Round,
Saying he let him on a game-winning drive his first game, though. I mean, none of these guys I've looked at and I've said, nah, he ain't necessarily.
No, I would agree.
Like, Drake May looked good.
To your point, they've looked prepared.
Exactly. Let's see. Caleb, yes. Jaden, yes. Drake, yes. Penix,
JJ, yes, for the time.
JJ, yes. Bo, yes. I mean, and then you start getting in the second round, guys. Let's see. I'm gonna get every single quarterback in the draft they got drafted this year. So he went through the first round, guys. So the next one would be Spencer Rattler, who, he did, again, not so good yesterday, but did lead him on a game-winning drive the first game. So
Joe, no, because he's crazy. Joe Milton.
Joe Milton had a touchdown, bro.
Bro, he tried to run. Come on. His passer rating was not good. I don't have it in front of me, but it could.
I'm going to say Joe Milton closer to yes than no, but we can disagree. We can disagree. Devin Leary is
we
a
love
no.
watching.
Leary looks bad. For the Ravens.
Yeah.
He stinks. Pratt, not very good either. So, okay, but like you would say 80%, Jordan Travis hasn't played for the Jets. So you would say 80% of the quarterbacks that got into this preseason have looked pretty good. Now, again, you're talking about third and fourth string defenses, but still.
Not all the time. Some of these guys have gone against one.
Yeah, exactly.
Caleb this last game, though.
Yeah, Caleb.
He was going against the twos. That's why early on I was discouraged.
Jaden Daniels was, by the way, named the starter. Not that there was any debate.
He has looked masterful.
Yes, he has. I think we're going to see a lot more Drake May in the third. Gerard Mayo took that Eagles loss like his dog died, bro. I don't know if you saw what he said.
No.
He's like, I just am so disgusted that we lost this game tonight. Like, I just cannot believe that we did not come away with the win. Like, he was very upset. So
I do. Impromptu add-on, Respect Burger. And frankly, excuse me, but anytime you throw a behind-the-back pass in an NFL game, and it can be preseason, I don't care, but just add another amazing thing to the GOAT's list of things other NFL teams and players can't do. A behind-the-back pass in the game to Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, respect.
That was so sick.
Sick.
That was
respect.
So sick.
Did you see the way they talked about it afterwards? Like they hadn't been working on it. It was hilarious. And him saying, I threw it because I was mad at him because he didn't run the right route. And then Travis said, oh, man, I couldn't understand what the play call was because he's talking in his Kermit voice.
Yep.
I mean, they're hilarious. Just
they are.
Operating on an entirely different plane than the rest of the NFL.
Yeah. I'm going to give a disrespect dog to Brian Flores. Now, you're probably wondering why.
I'm somewhat aware. Go ahead. Is this from the Tua interview?
It is. So Tua, who had a great year last year under Mike McDaniel, led him to the playoffs.
Just got paid.
Got that $212 million extension. He talked about his experience under Brian Flores when he was the coach for that 1 year with the Dolphins. And this is what Tua said. To put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. How would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it no matter what it is, the good or the bad. You hear it more and more. You start to believe that. I don't care who you are. You could be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person telling you things that you don't want to hear or probably shouldn't be hearing. You're going to start believing that about yourself. And so that's what sort of ended up happening. It's basically been, 2 years out of training that out of not just me, but a couple of guys as well that have been here my rookie year all the way until now. Obviously, Brian Flores got fired after 2021. People were mad about it, and the Dolphins have kind of taken off under Mike McDaniel, and Tua especially has taken off. Threw for 3,500 yards in his first year under McDaniel, despite missing 4 games because of that concussion. And then last year, he led the NFL with 4,600 in passing yards, career best 29 touchdowns, first Pro Bowl selection. So
wow.
It couldn't be more obvious that the coaching was the problem. And look, I will say this. There are definitely layers to that discussion when it comes to coaching and your style and things like that. Like, some people probably will respond a little better to the hard coaching. Mm-hmm. I mean, they will. Mm-hmm. And then there are some people that will absolutely not, and they'll shut down like Tua did. And, you know, I think that's what the best coaches figure out. The best coaches figure out who can take what coaching, who needs what coaching.
The buttons.
Yes. Right. Like, you just can't coach every player the same way.
Correct.
And that's just, it's like you can't raise every kid the same way.
Now, they'll tell you that you have to do that.
Right.
But it's not really you do it.
It's definitely not. You know, I don't think Mike McDaniel coaches every player on the team the same way he coaches Tua.
Well, you coach your quarterbacks differently than you coach the rest of the team. It's as simple as that.
Like, if Tyreek Hill drops an obvious touchdown pass, like, you think Mike McDaniel's going to say, man, Tyreek, you're just the best. And he's going to say, what the hell is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. You know,
you like, coach your rookies different. You do your star, you know.
Especially with a quarterback, like, it's such a mental thing, you know. It's such a mental position. I think that, you know, we always wondered, like, why hasn't Brian Flores got another shot? And maybe that is why. Maybe he it is coming out that he doesn't know how to coach quarterbacks. He is a defensive coordinator and he's good at that, but maybe he doesn't have the ability to coach the offensive side of the ball, and that could be a big reason why he hasn't gotten the job. I imagine he was telling Tua the whole way Tom Brady should be here, because
when they go out on a boat together.
Yeah,
and they
Tom Brady should be here instead of your ass. You know, like, again, I understand you're a young quarterback, you're trying to find your way in the world. You know, and you're hearing that, it's hard to process. It truly is. And so I'm going to give a disrespect dog to Brian for that. You know, okay, you try it, you see it doesn't work, you got to adjust. You got to do something else. Hey, you know, listen, the struggles are the struggles. Now what are we going to do?
Or put somebody with him that he can, right?
Exactly right.
And let somebody do that job for you.
Exactly
if you're incapable and you have to be that guy. I'm with you. That doesn't work with your quarterback where you're stuck with the QB.
Yeah. Like,
and
I mean,
that's going to determine your ceiling. And so, you know, his mental state is key here, not the way.
Exactly.
You know, you being Mr. Tough Coach on everybody.
Exactly. Like, I mean, it's just like in your daily job, right? It's really no different than a manager. You know, like, I once upon a time when I worked as scout, the guy that hired me was an absolute, he was the worst. He was the dude when I used to write for scout. And I was in charge of, like, doing, like, you know, X number of articles a month and being on. When Larry Porter got fired, he got fired early on a Sunday morning, right? Everybody knew it was going to happen. And I was 20 years old. But he got fired on a Sunday morning. I was a little late to posting the story on the website. He calls me and absolutely undresses me, cusses me out, tells me all these different things, like, you son of a blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, like, you could not even believe some of the things that he was saying to me. Like, as if I'd hurt somebody in his family. And it just made me shut down. It made me, like, it did not motivate me to be a better whatever the hell I was. Mm. It made me want to, like, stop doing it for him. And I ultimately did. And I left for the CA maybe, like, 6 months later. And, you know, like, it's all about, you know, if you're a manager, how do you empower your people? Know what I'm saying? Because that's what you should try to do. Put them in positions to be successful. Learn what that looks like.
Right.
And then put them in positions to be successful. A lot of times what that means is just letting them do their thing. Right? Like, letting them be themselves without you trying to, like, you know what I'm saying? I think that's generally. And then you can sort of offer your advice, your guidance where it applies. But beyond that, it's just like, yo, you hired the person for a reason. You drafted the quarterback for a reason. So let the man cook. Let him make mistakes, and then you work with him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not you versus him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's collaborative. And I think a lot of times managers, not here, obviously, but, you know, I've worked with managers in the past that did not see it that way. And I'm sure you did, too. I'm sure you've had run-ins with editors. I know you have. I know you have. So, you know, it's like, come at it from that perspective. Let's work together.
Well, I would just say the other dynamic in this discussion is that, too, there's a difference between being a coordinator and the way you can coach that and then being a head coach. Like, there's levels to
Very
it.
True.
And maybe your approach may have to change quite a bit, not just an adjustment in terms of if you're going from that coordinator to head coach. And for Brian Flores, maybe there was a struggle with that he was going to be the same DC type coach. Now you've got to deal with a quarterback, and sort of the way that Eberflus, because we've seen this on Hard Knocks, we've seen a recent example of this. You know, Eberflus, defensive guy coming over from Indianapolis, he's got what's supposed to be a star quarterback, and he's asking Nick Saban, okay, what do I do? How do I coach him? And we saw it in the first Hard Knocks. There's a guy who understood, I'm now getting into an area with my quarterback that I didn't specialize in, so how can I do this? Like, what do I need to know? And that's maybe sort of where Brian Flores, where the stop was, that Brian, you know, in his first head coaching gig, doesn't understand. It's got to be a special relationship between you and your quarterback, whether you're a defensive guy or not. And you can handle that different ways, but it has to be better than this. And that's what I'm saying. There's levels to it. A lot of coordinators find out they're not cut out to be head coaches. He may never figure that out. But that's usually what, as you said, that's usually what separates the good ones from the successful ones from the ones who aren't.
Exactly. Exactly right. So disrespect, dog, to Brian Flores for that, man. And, you know, yeah, maybe that's...
Be better next time, then.
Exactly. You know. Jeff Cogg's going to join us when we come back. We'll talk to him. When it came to when I was working with him, he was much more like Brian Flores, to be totally clear, than the alternative. He stalked me once and waited for me at the door to yell at me for not being 5 minutes early for an interview. So that's what, and I got away from him. I had to get away from him.
Well, you were always late to the party, weren't you, for Scout, for Jeff?
I guess so.
You were running a little bit late, weren't you?
I guess so, man.
You just had so much going on with no kids and no wife back then.
I did.
Just going to be a little late.
No, it was a learned deal, you know. It was a learned deal. But I do think that was unnecessary on Jeff's part, and maybe he'll apologize when we come back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Jeff Calkins is the host of the Jeff Calkins Show, columnist for the Daily Memphian, and the Brian Flores of Memphis Sports Radio. What's up?
Well, I was just reading, you know, another piece about you all and your incredible chemistry that you have and the vibe and Jason's deep voice and, you know, just another fawning profile of the Jason and John show.
Well, it's like Brad said, you never know who's listening. So I'm glad that Dave, you know, popped in on what seemed to be a great day for the show.
Yep.
Just,
well, I mean, you had that hot take about the schedule.
It's going national.
Yeah, that's what I said.
He loved that you said about the Grizzlies schedule and the insight in this. Now that I think about it, I didn't spend enough time thinking about the insight. You said 41 home and 41 away.
Whoa! Look, here's the thing. This is a sports talk show that's going to make you think.
It's going to challenge you.
Yeah.
You're going to challenge your previous conceptions of the truth, right?
So, yeah. I mean, listen,
they're going to make you add because they're going to do the adding for you, but it's going to make you think.
Exactly right.
Exactly right.
41 plus 41 equals 82.
82, right, yeah. It was some incredible stuff, and I'm glad you all getting the attention you deserve.
Yeah, no, it's I would say it's a long time coming. I'd say there needs to be more, but we'll just see, you know, how that develops. I'll you know, tug some pant legs at Barrett Media, see if we can, you know, get a little more.
Don't let him throw you off his Brian Flores management style with compliments.
Oh, yeah, now you're trying, but no, it's fake.
See, it was working on you. I felt it working
on you. Thank you for breaking the spell.
Yes.
Because you know who you really are. You know, this is not you. You're
Brian Flores.
Yeah, you're the guy that's waiting for me at the door just to yell and curse at me because I wasn't 5 minutes early for an interview.
And you straightened me out with the now infamous you and me email.
Right. You really are, Brian. I hope you don't fancy yourself as like a collaborative Mike McDaniel type because
collaborative Mike McDaniel type. You know, I like to hire a hold people to a standard. I mean, that is true. You got to hold people to a standard. But I am a Mike McDaniel type. No, it's
no, you're not. So start being honest, and then we can go. You're an old school guy. You're an old school guy. That's what you are. That's your style.
Oh,
yes, it is.
Well, first of all, I've never really been a boss, so I can't. I don't have a like when Jason wrote me to excoriate me about something about my coverage of preps. I wasn't his boss, you know, and so we didn't have a boss, you know, employer relationship. Now I was your boss. In fact, like you're the only person I've ever been boss of, right? Because I'm not really Jeffrey's boss. He has his own show in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. He reports to Brad. You're literally the only person I've ever been the boss of. I've never been a boss.
And what do you think?
And let's be honest.
Let's talk about the review.
I failed miserably as a boss because here's the truth. You were much better, much like Tua and Brian Flores, you were much better once you had a different boss.
That's
you know,
right.
Like you did not reach your peak under me. You would
That's right.
You were chronically late, you were a terrible guest booker, and now you've become you're prompt, you're on time, you're a very fine guest booker. You've reached your Tua stage.
That's right.
And I couldn't.
First time Pro Bowler.
I could not extract that level of performance out of you.
Well,
that is 100% true.
I mean, no.
Poor coaching.
Yeah, no, you didn't. And you know, maybe you could have tried something else in terms of your style. But I will say this. I will say this as true of anybody. You know, when you know, that show that I worked on with you on was your show. It wasn't mine.
I know. We've gone over this before. Well, exactly.
No, you and I have talked about it.
It wasn't that I failed as a boss. It was that you don't take pride in just doing a good job for the sake of doing your good job.
Right.
You need your ego and name to be involved in it.
Absolutely.
For you to care.
Damn.
I think I would have framed that much differently than you just did.
But
okay, in a much nicer way.
That sounded clinical.
Yeah, I mean, again, a lot of truth, but it's all about how you choose to frame that
how
truth.
How would you frame it?
I would say that I take professional pride. when my name is on the line.
But the flip side of that is you do not have pride in the simple doing of the task if your name and ego aren't involved. So you didn't really give your best.
There's no question.
You didn't really give your best until your name was on the show.
That is correct. I would agree with that.
Yeah. That's a hell of an admission.
No, I mean, I don't have any problem.
It couldn't be more obvious. It couldn't be more. All you had to do was...
Well, you don't have to. I mean, you don't have to be so upset about it.
I thought y'all had a good thing going.
You and Jeffrey are just fine, man.
Y'all were fooling the hell out of us.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, that's the difference. Jeffrey, for example, just cares about being a professional, whether his job, his name is on it or not. That's the difference.
Jeffrey and Company. It's the only name on it.
No, but that's only recently it's become Jeffrey and Company.
Yeah,
you know, and but on my show, his name isn't on it, but he's there before me.
Well, I think that is a joke.
He's got a little he prints out a little sheet of paper with a schedule on it.
That's right. I never once printed out anything.
Never once printed out a piece of paper.
And I never will. And I never will. I will never print out anything for you. And that's just the way it's going to be. So,
how do you feel about your new starting quarterback?
Don't change the subject because you're salty about it. Okay,
I'm not salty about anything. I'm salty. I'm happy.
This is what he does.
He's happy. I've got Jeffrey as my producer, and sky high ratings. You know, so it's very happy with the whole developments. Everything.
You're trying, and this is what you're doing. You're trying to hurt me by changing the subject to the Raiders quarterback. You're just trying to inflict more pain.
No, I do think that he is. Isn't it true, though? Like, I think Jeffrey, speaking of the genius Jeffrey, he is, he said today he's Fitzy. Like, he's Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's what he is. That's Gardner Minshew is Ryan Fitzpatrick, right?
The new Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, he is 100%. He's just Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's what he is. He's feel good. He's got good energy about him. Everyone likes him. A little bit wacky. You know, not a big arm, and he'll win you just enough games to screw up your draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if that's still true, though. I don't know if you guys watched the game on Saturday night. He's terrible. I mean, he was missing. Like, he was playing. It was starters versus the Dallas. Dude, Gardner Minshew sucks. He sucks.
Well, what's interesting is it
what he's running?
Weekend,
I thought he's pretty good in Indy last year.
Well, he had Steichen. Yeah. I mean, Steichen.
This weekend, we had... It's like the quarterbacks who sucked really sucked, and the quarterbacks who were good, like there was very little in between. You know, you had the Steelers quarterbacks just god awful. You had Daniel Jones, god awful. Gardner Minshew, god awful. Right, and then you had the three rookies doing unbelievable things. What you know, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, all three looked terrific.
Yep,
It was interesting, who knows what preseason means, but it was really interesting to see, there wasn't a lot of, pretty good. There wasn't a lot of that. It was either garbage or really promising.
I told John this morning in a text that if the Buffalo Bills win, would it be five straight AFC East titles, Jeff? Four or five, whatever mm-hmm. it is for y'all now that both Saleh and McDaniel should be fired. I realize I'm talking to the guy who, lowers expectations typically going into the season of his Bills, but this does feel like the year and I've been too early on this, but it does feel like the year where you guys will step back. And which one of those two do you have more faith in, Jeff, rather than asking you about your Bills? Is it Jets or is it Dolphins?
I guess I would say this, is that I don't really think it's an indictment if you can't be better than these Bills. Like, we'll see. We'll see how big a step they take back. I'm a little skeptical myself. I do think for both of them, though, it's just time. I have much more faith in McDaniel than I do in Saleh as a head coach, right? So much of it comes down to Aaron Rodgers.
100%.
That is, if he is, it's funny, I heard I was listening to Charlie Weiss. I didn't know Charlie Weiss was still around, but I listened to Charlie Weiss talk about Aaron Rodgers over the weekend. If he is, like, if he could come back and be, let's just say, perform at the same level that Tua does, right? Just be Tua level good, right? Yeah. That team should be better because everything, it is a more complete team than the Dolphins. The Dolphins, in order to sign the players they signed, they lost a defensive tackle, they lost a guard. Like they spent money on skill positions, but they are, in many ways, the roster was better last year. It's a little hollowed out this year. Whereas I think the Jets, you know, for the Jets to have won as many games as they did last year with truly putrid quarterback play. So, now, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers can be that. And I think they're handicapped because I don't think they have a very good head coach. But I guess I think the ceiling is higher for that team if Aaron Rodgers looks anything like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no.
I'll buy that. You get four-time MVP Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be.
I mean, and you don't even need that.
Just good Aaron Rodgers will get you to the top.
Yeah. If you got the Aaron Rodgers that you got, you know, I don't know, like Tampa's Tom Brady wasn't as good as New England's Tom Brady, but he's still damn good Tom Brady, right? Yeah. So you get something like that, and I obviously hope that doesn't happen, but. I think either of them could win the East, though. I'm kind of a believer in the Dolphins, too. I know they caught a lot of crap for the way they finished it last year, but they were incredibly injured last year.
Right.
So, you know.
I think a lot of McDaniel. You know,
and I do, too.
He's clearly,
I mean, probably he's so damn likable, you know.
Yeah.
So he's a likable guy. The team that I am convinced will not make the playoffs, though.
Pittsburgh.
Talk about the Bills. Yeah, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Why so down on the Steelers? I mean, they moved the ball at will against the second teamers. They put up three at home against the Bills, second, third team defense.
It was just pathetic. Just pathetic. Against the Bills defense that is going to take a step back anyway, and that we're resting a lot of starters because they missed Milano, and so they're being really careful. And so they couldn't do a damn thing. Like, and the whole argument with those two quarterbacks is, I was listening to the argument on Sportsmanlike today. Well, you gotta start with Russell Wilson and then go to Fields. Because if you start with Fields and go to Wilson, that doesn't work. Well, that entire argument is based on the idea that they're going to fail, you know? And I agree, by the way. I agree with it. I agree they're going to fail. But, like, you're already setting yourself up to which failure do we want to go with first before we go with the other failure? Which way would look better? I just was not convinced. Justin Fields looked better because he can do something with his legs, but that's it. Like, he just – every once in a while he'll run for 30 yards. But he'll also overthrow a guy by 30 yards like he did in that game. It was pathetic.
Yeah, no, it truly was. All right, let's talk a little bit about Memphis basketball. We did get some scheduling news, which is interesting, in the Maui. Memphis is going to see UConn in their first game. Now, I will say my first reaction was, damn. But then I thought about it. I'm like, you know, at least it's not Iowa State. Like, you're getting a crack at the defending two-time back-to-back champion. That's way, like, honestly, you almost expected Iowa State, which is like that's, they're going to try to hold you to 60 points.
Right.
And even if you win, it doesn't really make a big dent, even if they're a great team. UConn, at least, that will resonate.
Well, yeah. I mean, they say free shot, right? You know, and that certainly would resonate. And you got them early, right? You got them early. That's good. Of course, it's really early for you too. You're literally your entire team is being remade. That's a hell of a formidable way to start. But it's true that with the out of conference schedule anyway is going to be. That's the way it's going to work. You're creating a team on the fly, and they managed to do it last year somehow. They got through their non conference schedule with you know flying colors. But yes, that's a hell of a way to start. They will at least have had the experience of playing Alabama. I mean, you do have to hand it to Penny.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
He gets them in these games, exhibition, whatever. Like when Penny said, without me, the program would go in the crapper or whatever it was. Basically, you just watch, you know, and people kind of rolled their eyes a little at that. I do think that in a watered down conference, the presence of Penny Hardaway at the head of this program means something. Don't you? I really think it brings something to this program that it might not, that it would not otherwise have.
It should be default AAC champion is what it should be at this point.
It should also be that.
I'm just like, you know, you focus on the emotions. I'm ready to talk about tournaments. You know, that's really what matters to me. You know, like, yeah, like,
I am.
How many years can we say?
I think it goes without saying. We have all acknowledged this is a year when they have to make the tournament, right? And that it'll change everything. You make the tournament, all of a sudden you can say, Three out of 4 years we made it. The only year didn't. Chemistry was bad. That can happen. If they miss, then it looks like a trend, right? It changes the way you look at it completely. And it's kind of amazing because we're not talking about getting to the second weekend or deep run or any of that stuff that we used to talk about. Now we're just talking about get to the tournament. And, yes, no question, you beat UConn, people will certainly take notice.
Jeff, how about Brooks Monaghan going up there beating his old boss? You just go up there, mosey on up there, beat Missouri 2-0, just keeps winning. You know, new team, new year. Still going to put together a top 10, you know, women's soccer program in the country. If I were Laird Veach and Brooks had come up there and beat me 2-0, and maybe I expected it, maybe I did, I'd be trying to hire him. I'd be saying, man, come, right? I mean, just the fact that Brooks Monaghan stayed here 25 years, and I'm sure through other offers, he's told us that. I mean, he just continues to add to the story, Jeff. They just keep beating Power Fives, no problem. Power Fours, whatever it is.
Well, I was listening to your interview with him last week, and it was interesting because he spoke very highly of Laird Veach. You know,
yes.
Spoke very
that stood out.
But then he said he spoke very, very highly of Ed Scott. Like so far, he's pretty pleased with how it's gone with Ed Scott. I guess what I would say is that when a guy has been here this long and has turned down the opportunities that he's had.
Yeah.
You never say never, because you do. We wonder if at some point in someone's life they might say, I wonder what the other, you know,
money.
How the other half lives.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, like, this isn't here been a guy who's been here for 2 years or 5 years or 7 years or 13 years,
right.
You know. This is a guy who's been here a quarter of a century, and so he's obviously invested in Memphis and has built a hell of a lot in Memphis, and as he said on your show, for the first time, you know, he feels really good about the support and the things that are coming to his program. Yeah. And so it almost feels like having worked so hard, now that you've finally gotten here, this would not be the moment to, you know, to light out for someone else. I was impressed, though, by the soccer aficionado, John Martin. He wasn't just content to, you know, talk about all that Brooks has achieved. He was breaking it down with the players. He was asking questions about the players.
I know.
Yeah, who did you ask about, John? You don't
Ashley
even remember.
Henderson.
The Harding standout.
Oh, yeah.
How could you accuse me of not
breaking
remembering?
Breaking down Ashley Henderson. I was like, you're not some Johnny come lately to this thing. You're like.
That's what I said. He's different
granular,
than he was when
know?
He was with you, definitely. I mean, this is
a different work ethic. Exactly.
I care a lot more. Well, get back to your dungeon of berating people that you've worked with in the past and see where it gets you.
And thank you for doing this on a Monday.
Just see where it gets you. Later.
Bye.
He is Jeff Calkins. Joins us usually on Thursday, sometimes different days, because that's just the way
that's
it works.
What I said, you can't beat him up too much, guys.
No, I can't beat him
so
up too
flexible.
Much. But, you know, maybe he needs to do a little bit of self-reflection. Brooks Monaghan has never had to move. That's the beautiful thing about it, right? But let's say that he ever did, or you have to.
What do top 10 women soccer coaches get? Because that's what he's worth.
I don't know.
Is what I would tell you.
We shall see. And if that job comes along, he should definitely call the Live Love Memphis Group at the real estate agency, simply because they're the best in town. They're going to help you find the home of your dreams, non-negotiables, and get the best deal for it. Or if you're on the selling side, they're going to help you make the most money. They have the network of buyers. It is just simply what they do every single day, the best in Memphis. Reach out, SodaLiveLoveMemphis.com.
Or you can call 901-625-5200. Go ahead and lock it in, because Jennifer Carsonson and her team, they're here to stay. Did it for me back in 2018, approaching the six-year anniversary of her selling my home, get me out of a situation I thought I'd never be able to get out of. But more importantly, into a much better one, a dream scenario, especially compared to my first one. So make that call. At the very least, she's going to answer all your questions, put you at ease, take the anxiety out of things, and, again, answer all those unknowns that I certainly had before I bought my first home. And, yes, those of you renting, make the call. Get the information. You may be able to be in a situation where you can own, and that's what Jennifer specializes in, helping first-time home buyers. So, again, 625-5200. So, Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agency.
Inflation where? Not at Sonic. Not where you're going to live free.
Where is the Memphis football Twitter account? People are asking.
I couldn't add tweet it this morning. That's a good pickup there.
Yeah.
Interesting that you bring this up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm still a little startled.
Yeah, because all y'all do is complain.
It doesn't exist at Sonic. Inflation.
Not at Sonic.
No.
Not at Sonic. It may exist everywhere else, but it does exist.
No.
The last bastion of free living.
Amen, brother.
Sonic.
I'm not seeing it. Did Memphis football get shadow banned?
So apparently they were told to, this is according to Frank Bonner, Daily Memphis, and they were prompted to re-verify some information that got locked out in the process. They're in communication with X on getting the access back to the account.
It happens. We've seen it.
We ought to have the quick line to Elon.
That's what I'm saying, right?
With what we got going on.
XAI, yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody work at X? That's going to be an interesting challenge. So I don't know. You know, if anybody back there in that hellscape is going to be able to assist with Memphis. But, pour one out. Pour one out. Old country for the Memphis football Twitter account.
Hey, those of us, do we technically lose a follower with them out?
For the time being.
If you were lucky enough to be followed by Memphis football, for the time they're off.
Yeah, for the time being. I mean, are you down one. Dude.
I'm trying to go back up.
Respectfully, the app is dying every single day.
That's a fact.
You need to put your energy into something different.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb Williams is just bringing me back.
Yeah.
I like going on and seeing what Tyreek Hill has to say about my quarterback.
Yeah, Rob Doster, by the way, speaking of Twitter and you, he had never heard the word impute. So he thought that I was trying to say input. But, you know, again, I don't mean to, like, flex my University of Memphis vocabulary every night. I don't like that often, but that one went right over, you know. And he tried to come at me about it. I'm like, bro, here's a thesaurus. Here's Merriam-Webster, okay? This will help, you know.
So I didn't hear what the issue was. I had no idea what word you were trying to use.
Impute.
Yes.
I was talking about, like, imputing, you know, a player.
He said all you needed was input.
Yeah, that was according to Rob.
He was trying to go the layman's term.
He was saying that I pronounced inputting wrong.
Oh, okay.
When I'm like,
he doesn't know the word impute.
Like, so what Rob really ended up doing was, unfortunately, a self-own there with his lack of, you know, education, really. You know, again, journalism from Meeman. I mean, it's the highest of the high level.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.